Go ahead and reconvene to, oops. Pardon me. Oops, sorry, Ann. We'll go ahead and reconvene to open session. So can we have the report out of closed session from District Counsel Hanley?
Yes, no reportable action. There was direction given, but any action will be taken at a future open session item.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 7A, resolution of the Board of Directors taking action in regard to the clerical error by the County of San Luis Obispo election officials concerning Christine Womack's membership and term on the Board of Directors of Los Osos Community Service District. Roy, this is yours.
Yes.
Does Christine need to recuse herself?
Yes. No, because you don't have, under these circumstances, no, you have to sit in the audience.
You don't have to physically leave. You just can't be up here.
No, she doesn't have to leave the room when she's allowed to participate as a member of the public. Yes. So, quite a lengthy written staff report. I'm going to do my best not to repeat it for you. As with all staff reports, the staff report, at least from me, the staff report makes my recommendations. It doesn't reflect a guess of what the board might want to hear or what anyone else might want to hear. It just reflects my analysis of the facts, my review of the facts, and how I think the law applies to the situation. So my recommendation is before you. I've also listed alternatives. So after I'm through and you're through with your deliberations, I think maybe you ought to just consider whether or not you want to adopt a resolution. If you do, what resolution you want to adopt based on which alternative you choose, mine or one of the others that's listed. In writing the report and in discussing things tonight, I have not intended to be throwing county elected officials or employees or members of the Board of Supervisors under the bus. These are human endeavors. When we do these things, since we're all human, we do make mistakes. In fact, in my staff report, I typed a 7 where I should have typed 2. And we also have received a word from a county employee that they would prefer that in the resolution, if you adopt it, we refer to a deputy at the county clerk recorder's office instead of to a specific title. I happen to have no problem with that. It's not relevant to my legal analysis as to whom it was that the general manager spoke to. I'm going to give you my interpretation of what the county did. We've all read, both in my report and in an online thing, the rather Hanley-esque but snarky reference to the fact that the county is not a superior governmental agency to the Los Osos CSD. I do have an opinion as to actually what the Board of Supervisors intended to do with the action that they took, because I was there. I heard them speak. I heard county council speak. And what I think the Board of Supervisors intended to do was recognize that a mistake led to a ballot being presented a certain way, and then they wanted to pass any decision-making on how to deal with that mistake away from the Board of Supervisors and onto you, the Board of Directors of the Los Osos Community Services District. So that's why we're here tonight. I don't think they were intending to give you direction as to what to do. I think they were passing the baton and figuring it was a decision better left to you than to them. So we're here. The gist of my lengthy written report really is that nobody at the district did anything wrong. No past or current member of the Board of Directors did anything wrong. Ms. Womack didn't do anything wrong. We had a mistake on the ballot, and now this board has to decide what it wants to do to deal with that situation. So I've given you my conclusion in the staff report, and I've given you my recommended resolution. I don't make rulings. you get to consider what I've described to you and told you, along with everything else you hear, and consider that along with your own thoughts and impressions and make your own decision on how this board proceeds. With that, I'm prepared to answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, I have a question, Roy.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. I have an alternative that I'd like to propose that's not on your list here. So should I do that now or after public comment, or what's the best time to do that?
I think the public, as I hear the matter, would rather hear it now before you go to public comment than later.
Well, I'd like to propose another alternative here, which is basically the same as your first alternative here. But what I'd like to do is say that the resolution to make the appointment of Christine Womack would be effective for 2 years. And then in 2020, it would become a four-year term. So she'd be up for election with the other board members for a full term, which is what the understanding was, as I understand, when she filed for the election, that it was only going to be a two-year term.
Yeah. Your point being that in doing that, you accomplish two things. One would be recognizing that the time has long since passed to have any legal arguments over how the ballot was put together, and having it be a two-year term meets everybody's expectations as they existed at the time based on the mistake, that it would return, and I apologize for thinking out loud, but that's what we're doing here. The district needs to be on a cycle where you have three terms up and then two terms up, and this would return the district to three full terms at the next election instead of two elections from now. So understanding that, I said that there are other alternatives other than the ones I mentioned, so that's something you can consider.
Well, I think this is what I would like the board to consider, because I think based on, as I read your analysis here, and based on how we understood this happened, was that when Christine signed up in order to be an incumbent, she was told she had a two-year term. So that's why I'd like to make it a two-year term, but rather than going off cycle on the elections, just to make it a four-year term in the election in 2020. That's my alternative.
Yeah, and that wouldn't change any of the identified risks that I included in my description of alternatives, so I'd have no additional risks to add there.
Well, that's going to be my motion when we get to that point. So any other comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to public comment on this item.
Julie Tacker, and hindsight being 2020, Roy said that no one did anything wrong. Well, clearly someone did something wrong. And I believe because the error was caught here at the district that your general manager should have spoken directly to Mr. Gong, not a deputy clerk, not the clerk, to Mr. Gong. And, you know, whatever it takes, stand on your head until you get his attention to rectify the mistake. That didn't happen. And there is a big mess here. And a lot of money has been spent on it. The county has only offered to pay for a special election. Marshall's remedy negates the need for the special election. And I like that because I am a taxpayer of the county and I don't want the county to spend $50,000 to $70,000 as was estimated. So I would support his recommendation. But any costs that have been incurred by the district, special legal counsel, even Renee's time, all should be asked for reimbursement from the county because this was a mess. They take responsibility for it, so let them pick up the tab.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vita Miller. Yeah, I agree with everything Julie just said. And actually, before you made that motion, that actually was what I was going to say anyway. Marshall, I agree with your motion. I was going to say that I believe Christine believed that that's what she was going to be eligible for, the two-year term, and I think it's the right thing to do. And so, yes, I definitely agree with that, and I do hope the county reimburses whatever costs were incurred. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lynette Tornatsky. I don't know. I'm not a legal expert here, but John Eric was a four-year term, and that's what Chris thought originally that she was going for, and then she was told different. So I would like to know what actually is the difference in cost if we do it giving her the 4 years or giving her the 2 years. I'd like to know what the cost difference would be to the district. And frankly, respecting your opinion, Marshall, I think Chris ought to get a 4-year term, and that's just my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Lindy Owen. I think the whole issue has gotten very muddied and confusing. There was a 2-year term to be finished, and it was finished, and the election should have gone for 3 full terms. It's pretty clear. And if the mistakes were made, they should be corrected. It's not rocket science. It's this. It's called doing the right thing. The situation of having to, the people that did put the time and money into putting their signs out and campaigning and running did the work, and that just left Christine to not have to do that work, and to give her a 4-year term is just pretty much, I think, unfair to those that did make the effort to do the process that was lined out. I personally think that there had to be some confusion. I don't think Tommy Gong is all at fault on this, and so I still hold the people that are at fault, and they know who they are, responsible, and think that that should be corrected at least the next election cycle. I think that's when Christine and whoever wants to run against her should have a chance to take on the next 2 years if you want to make it a shorter term. And I think the cost of Steve's lawsuit should be covered by the county also. If we're not going to hold a special election, they should at least cover the cost of that lawsuit. And I think he has a valid complaint. He's, from what I understand, not terribly interested in running because of his health now, but he does want this justice to be carried through. And it's what we need to see from the CSD. Thank you.
Richard Margetson. 3 minutes isn't a long enough time to go over this staff report, but to say that nobody at the district had any responsibility is pathetic. General manager of a district should know the length of the terms. When the district was informed that Christine would be a 2-year term, I guarantee you Mr. Buell would have never got this far when Buell was our general manager. That's part of the knowledge a general manager should have about their district. It's also a knowledge that directors should have about how their election process runs in their district. These are 4-year terms. At some point, somebody should have said, wait a minute, this doesn't even make sense. We've never had a 2-year term, ever. They've all been 4-year terms. If you accept the staff report and this motion at this point, you're putting somebody in a seat for 4 years and 7 months or whatever number of months was her original appointment without receiving one vote from the citizens of this community. And there's no guarantee with the number of votes that Steve got and Matthew got and Chuck got that she would have filled one of those seats. 3,000 is a pretty good threshold in this community to crack. And to say that, oh, the county probably wouldn't pay for it or might renege or whatever. If you were in the room, supervisor from the South County was urging and pretty much said, if there's a special election that has to be held, I think we're responsible for paying for it. They would find the money to pay for it. And you're worried about Christine suing us? I think the community would have a problem with somebody suing to get a four-year term that didn't receive one vote from this community. And if she did, I'd have concern about her moral compass and her ability and right to sit on this board. Yeah, you may have the right to do this, but is it right? And if a lawsuit was brought by Christine, it'd be really interesting to see it get all the way to the appellate court or the state Supreme Court and have let them have this discussion of somebody taking a four-year seat in this country without receiving one vote on a ballot. Not one ballot had Christine's name on it. And you're talking about seating her for four in a community where decisions of impact are made and voted on by this district board. It's pathetic if you don't ask for a special election this November.
Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll close our closed public comment and bring it back to the board. I think there was one question asked about the cost difference. It doesn't matter if it runs in, I mean, the elections are the elections. It's a regular election cycle, so there is no
right.
cost difference.
If the next election is at a general election, the right. cost would be the same. The special election would be the only increased cost.
Right. So I'm going to go ahead and make my motion, which was that we seat, did we continue to have Christine sit for two additional years, and then at that time she'd be up for a four-year term, or that seat, pardon me, would be up for a four-year term. So that's my motion. But before I get asked for a second, I would like to, and I appreciate that Steve is not feeling well, but I would like to express my appreciation to Steve for all of his services to the community, because I know that he did serve on a lot of committees, and he was very, very active in a lot of things. The dog park is just one example. So I'd like to express my appreciation to Steve before we move on. So I know he's unable to attend, but I do want to express my appreciation. So I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and adopt my alternative, which is we seat Christine for a two-year term, and at the end of that term, or those 2 years, that she be up for a four-year election.
Would you, before we have a second, would you intend to have a resolution to that effect?
Yes, sir.
So I would recommend that then we change the resolution. We would have to change the last, basically combine the last two whereas clauses. So it would read, and understanding that her term would be 2 years, period, and then go on to the Board of Supervisors rescinding, but have that all be one whereas clause, and then say, found another typo, that's great. The first section three, not the second section three, the first section three in the draft resolution would have to be changed to reflect that she's reappointed to a vacancy on the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors, and upon the qualification and seating of a successor at the November 2020 election for a four-year term.
Okay. Makes sense to me.
And so then, and by that, what I mean is that her spot would be up at the, if I understood your direction correctly, her spot would be up at the next election, and it would be a four-year term along with the other two terms that are up.
Correct.
Okay.
And then I guess one other typo, as you mentioned, we have to change section the second section three to section four.
And I would also like to change the reference to the person at the clerk recorder's office to have it read a deputy. I think that serves all our legal needs, and we don't have to be concerned about exactly who it was.
Okay. All right. We have a motion. Do I have a second?
I second that motion with the amendments. But okay. I'd just like to point out, I mean, this is not something our community asked for, and it's really testing our resolve. Sure. Okay. Okay, I got it. I think it's testing our resiliency and resolve as a community. So I don't think that there was anybody trying to cause this in this room. And I think that by going ahead and making the 2 years and then following that up with a 4 year, I think that that gives Ms. Womack exactly what she was under the impression she was in for. And it also helps us move on as a community. This is a point where we could pick each other apart about this, or we could decide that this is something that we can come together about. We might not like it, but we can make a decision and move on and start doing good work that's been done, especially on bond refinancing. So I second this motion.
Thank you. Any more discussion?
Yes. Before cast a vote, I've got to agree with some of the people in the audience that to let this go without a conversation with Tom and Gong directly, I think was a critical mistake. He should have had to explain thoroughly. It might have helped his thought process to go through this again and really have to explain to someone just why he did what he did. And maybe it can't be explained, but I'm still not convinced that we did everything we could to correct the situation and prevent it from getting to this point. On the other hand, I don't want to see a needless, protracted battle here. The idea of a special election costs don't thrill me, but I do want to get to an election as soon as possible, and there's just no way I could consider a four-year appointment. That would be extremely wrong.
Okay. Can I say something then to that? It's kind of hard to have a conversation with Tommy Gong if he doesn't call you back. So I finally, that who I was able to reach is who gave me the information, read the information to me from the application and said that this was the decision that Tommy Gong had made. So again, left several messages for Mr. Gong, and I got no recalls back other than from this particular person.
He works for someone, too.
Yeah.
He works for the voters. Do you have any comments, Vicki?
Yeah, I do. It took Mr. Gong 2 weeks after the election to contact us. His apologies in the newspaper shifted a little, and he never took direct responsibility, and it was his responsibility. And I think that our proposed action is the best that we can do in the circumstances. I want it to be very, very clear that this was not a staff issue here.
All right, any other comments? Okay, since it's a resolution, we'll take a roll call vote.
President Ohilsky?
Yes.
Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Millage?
Yes.
Vice President Sasania?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate everybody. Now, Chris, you can come back up. Okay, the next item on the agenda, and this item was put up here because Rob Miller was going to be here, but he had to leave. But so it's consideration of the district's portion of the Basin Management Committee's operating budget for calendar year 2019. Rob provided the staff report, so I think it's pretty clear. The district is responsible for 38% of the budget under the stipulated judgment with the courts. Golden State's responsible for 38%, County's responsible for 20%, and S&T for 4%. So we did, when the Basin Management Committee met, we did reduce the budget and took out some line items. I think those of you who were there, if anybody, know that. So this is the budget, and we need approval so we can move forward with the upcoming year of the Basin Management Committee. And it's a calendar year budget, so we're kind of like on hold right now because the budget started January 1st. I don't know if anybody has any questions, but I can answer those. But I think the staff report that Rob wrote is pretty straightforward and pretty clear. Questions? Okay, anybody have any comments on the Basin Management Committee budget? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back. Questions, discussion, motion? Pardon? Yes?
Then I move that the board approve the district's portion of the Basin Management Committee budget with respect to the cost anticipated in fiscal year 2018-2019 in the amount of $33,288 and direct staff to include funding in the draft 2019-2020 budget in the amount of $22,458 for the basin management expenses through calendar year 2019.
Have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Any more discussion? We don't need a roll call, do we? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, seeing none, then we have public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to speak to the recent decision that your board made to settle a lawsuit with Jason Zatt. Jason Zatt was a utility compliance technician with the district, technician two, with the district for about 4 years, and in his initial complaint, his attorney suggests that Margaret Faulkner, who was an employee of the district for 14 years and was Mr. Zatt's supervisor, her reason for resigning was to avoid working with the district's general manager. Mr. Zatt was terminated by the district manager. And while he may or may not have been a good fit for the district, there are ways in which you let someone go. The cost to the district, nearly 2 years of legal wranglings with the union involved, private attorneys involved, a special counsel involved, on this warrant packet alone, nearly $94,000 is coming out of the water fund. You might talk about that at some point. Because his position was in the water fund doesn't necessarily mean that the water department needs to take this up. This is a human resource issue, and in my mind, it's administration. Furthermore, and I've just handed you all the contract with Grace Environmental, and I've highlighted item number 6 in the indemnification clause. And if Grace Environmental is found negligent, which I believe Ms. Osborne was in this case, you can recover damages from them. Another thought process, because we have had personnel matters that have gone to court and settled before, we engaged our insurance company to cover some costs and recover costs. So I am incensed, outraged that the water department, the water ratepayers who pay you good money for their water, have to pick up the cost associated with this blunder. And I would like you all to go to closed session and discuss how this truly should be handled and what the district's protection is.
Thank you.
I'm Vita Miller. I didn't consider this part of the first item on the agenda, so I just want to say now that I wanted to thank Steve. I wish him all the best, and I don't mean that as a pun. His name is Steve Best. I really hope that he has a recovery, a full recovery. But it was because of Steve shining a light on all this. And his intent was transparency in this process and justice. I had several conversations with him, and that was his reason for doing what he did do and filing an action, which unfortunately was not able to follow through on. I wish he could have followed through on that action, to be perfectly honest with you. But his intent was to see the right thing being done in this community. And I have to say that I agree with what Richard said about Ms. Womack not getting a single vote in this community. And Steve, as I recall, got over 3,000 votes, so congratulating him on that. And I did bring that point up many times, and it's not a personal thing. It's just a fact. Ms. Womack did not get a single vote. So thank you, Steve. Thank you for all you did. And I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Lindy.
Lindy Owen again. I don't see it on the agenda, but I thought that there was going to be a discussion about directors' compensation and abuse of the directors. Anyway, then I'll save my comment till then. Okay.
Yeah, it's 12C.
Okay. I oversaw it, I guess. Didn't see it.
It's okay.
I guess my other comments are this CSD has had problems from the very start, and a lot of it becomes, again, as you were saying, we want to just forgive and move on and not have disparities and division. But until things are done correctly, there are people in the community that are going to stand up to make sure that the right things are done. So having a discussion is a healthy thing, and I don't think that we just sort of go, well, in this case, let's just move on. And I believe we are in the midst of having a good discussion. I really like Christine. It's the process, and I think the damage that was done to Steve Best for not honoring that he actually came in with a third highest amount of votes, and that his lawsuit should be respected and looked at. So, again, we don't come here for any personal gain. It's just for our community. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, I wasn't at your last board meeting, but to my surprise, when I came back and found out that Marshall was the chair, Matthew, this community is going to heal and come together. Chuck should have been the president. He's the only four-time elected official in this community. He got the most votes. That means a lot of people like Chuck. And to turn around and play the game of, oh, we're going to go back to the old system. Marshall, you stood in that parking lot with Chuck and I before the election, and when we were talking about the election, you said to him, are you ready to be president? I was there. I witnessed it. So why isn't Chuck president? Because you threw him the bone of being vice president, that maybe next year he becomes president? You can change the rules next year. Somebody can make a motion, and Christine could be chair next year and get the three votes. Chuck should be sitting in that seat. You want to heal the community? You got to kind of go with what the community wants. Chuck got the most votes. Four-time elected official in this community. stopped a sewer, was hated for that.
And loved.
And loved, I'm saying, but hated by the other side. And they still voting for him. Because maybe he's brought something forward over the years. And for the directors that campaigned against him, I heard Vicky tell committee members at the Finance Committee not to vote for him. I witnessed that conversation. I know Lou and Lynette were going door to door campaigning against Chuck. But I want one of you to tell me, one of you to tell me what you have against Chuck that he shouldn't be sitting on this board. Because I don't think one of you can. I don't think one of you can. That sewer should be outside of town, shouldn't be in town. Even the press, after not supporting any of our positions, Neil Farrell wrote an article a few years ago after visiting, taking the tour of the plant, and said, you know, I made a mistake. That plant shouldn't have been in the middle of town. Sure would have been nice to have had his support back then when we were fighting the sewer and putting 900 signs around town. Sitting at meetings till 4 in the morning, wearing down directors hoping they'd go away, but they didn't. This community eventually decided they wanted that plant out of town. Chuck was instrumental in that. He's been instrumental in a lot of things in this community that have been positive, and you should be sitting in that seat.
Okay. Any other public comment?
Lynette Tornotsky, I did not go door to door speaking against Chuck. That is just a lie. Thank you.
You. Oh.
Lou Tornotsky, I went door to door. But I went door to door to get that man elected because I thought that this board needs people that are under the age of 56, under the age of 40, that can represent things that are a little bit different than the board that has been the board. He's one. I believe she's one. God love you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comments? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back for administrative and committee reports. We will not have a fire report, but there is a written report in the agenda package. Do you want to give us an update on what happened to the chief getting promoted?
Our chief has been promoted. So they are looking for, they have I can't say his last name, so I'm not even going to try, Hong or something like that from Wong, from, he's over at the training center, but he's supposed to be our temporary chief, so we should hear something soon, we should hear something by next week. But yes, Chief Alex has been promoted, and Chief Spinarni has retired.
Yep. Okay, thank you. So we'll move with that. We'll move to the Sheriff Department report.
Good evening, Michael Manuelli, Coast Station Commander. Tonight I have the stats for January 2019. Los Osos had 517 calls for service compared to 613 the previous year. That is down approximately 15%. From those calls for service, there were 94 reports generated. Again, down about 9% from the 103 the previous year. There were two calls for service regarding assault or battery. One was a disturbance at a local drinking establishment. The other one was a domestic violence. We had 33 disturbance calls generating 7 reports, 6 burglaries generating 1 report, some fishing gear stolen out of a storage unit. There were 9 theft reports, correction, 9 calls for service regarding thefts, generating 3 reports, stolen bike. This one's kind of unique, doors stolen off a custom painted Jeep. Very valuable. They damage the Jeep in the process. They come off easily, but they managed to damage the Jeep as well. One victim lost $12,700 to a online scam. They tried purchasing an oxygen chamber, and it never arrived. There were no vandalisms, no mail thefts, 4 phone scams, 30 suspicious circumstances resulting in 1 report. And this is why we appreciate all those suspicious circumstances call. This one observed a subject removing a bicycle from the back of a truck. The subject then entered the truck. They called us. We were able to get on scene and identify the subject before he fled from us. We'll be filing charges. And all total, there were 23 adult arrests for the month, and that's my report.
Thank you. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Utilities Department report. Oh, if you're leaving, I wanted to thank you, by the way, for your swearing in at the chamber dinner the other night.
My honor.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. President, Board of Directors, citizens of the Los Osos community. My name is Jose Acosta. I'm your Utility Services Manager for the Los Osos CSD. Tonight I'll be presenting the Utility Department report for December 2018. We'll start off with the water production figures. During the month of December 2018, the district produced 11.8 million gallons of water. This equated to approximately 380,000 gallons per day. This represents a decrease in production from last year by approximately 20.69%. Using the state's formula to calculate the residential usage per capita for the month of December, the customers use approximately 50.8 gallons per day. I do want to point out that that's a decrease from 64.1 gallons per person per day last year. And that is the lowest figure since January of 2016 as gallons per day per capita. So citizens are doing a very great job. I continually point this out because I think it's something that the community should be very proud of and something positive to point out for everyone. I also attached at the back of the report this month is a chart showing the gallons per day per capita. It was recommended at the UAC, which is a great recommendation, so that way the citizens can see the history of their usage as well. So that's also attached back there. The production and runtime hours by well site is also located. As you can see, each well site had a decrease in usage from the previous year, as well as the runtime and hours. Moving on to water billing information. The residents were billed for approximately 14.2 million gallons of water usage from the period of October 9th through December 12th. This generated a revenue of approximately $260,000. Next, we'll discuss the utility department operations and maintenance tasks and maintenance that were performed for the month of December as well. They conducted their facilities tour for Cuesta College Water Distribution class. Cuesta offers a class for anyone who's interested in learning more about water distribution. So once a year, they come out and we give them a tour of our facilities. Our water resource crew leader gives them a tour, explains hydraulics, explains wells, explains all the stuff they're learning in the class so that they could see it firsthand and not just reading it in a text. They were troubleshooting and completed repairs and adjustments for the ion exchange unit. Collected and submitted sampling for the Bay Ridge Collection Facility, which we'll discuss later as well. Continue the meter residential meter changeout program. Performed some service line repairs at a couple addresses. And responded to a call out for overflow at a 10th Street Reservoir. There was an issue with the clay valve at that location. They troubleshot it and made the repairs required. At our drainage facilities, we've completed installation of a pump and upgrades at 16th Street Drainage Facility. The contractor has completed the installation of new control panels at Don and Mitchell and Bay Ridge Drainage Facilities. And we've performed generator and pump tests at Don and Mitchell Drainage Facilities. Next is the rainfall totals. As you can see, from April through December, we've had approximately 6.11 inches of rain. And I'm sure that number is probably almost doubled since then with the rain we've received these last few weeks. That concludes my report. Do I have any questions from the board?
Thank you.
I do.
Yes, sir.
Just real quick. I know you're doing those upgrades at the drainage stations. So yes. How's that been going for you with all the rain that's been going on? Because you got to be like pumping, and then real quick go work on it. I'm not sure.
Great question. As I pointed out last month, at 16th Street, just an example, we have some customers that they work at the liquor store next door, and we were in there grabbing something for lunch, and they said, hey, I just want to let you guys know we're very excited about the pump you replaced at 16th Street. It's much quieter, and it's doing a better job than the past has. At 8th Street, when I first got here, I heard the horror stories about people out there on canoes at some points of the year down on 8th Street in El Moro, and that pump station has been working very well. Panels at Don and Mitchell and Bay Ridge, those are upgrades for electrical components that had electrical components from the 60s in there still. So we upgraded those electrical components, and we're bringing our panels updated to be able to bring up a new SCADA and incorporate them into a new age SCADA.
Good. Yeah, well, I'd just like to thank our crews for, I know they've been busy in the last month, 2 months now, and they're doing a great job. So,
and
thank you.
I appreciate that, and I invite everyone to come to the UAC meetings because we do discuss this a lot in detail. There's some great questions and stuff discussed there as well. Thank you.
Chuck, did you have a question? Oh, okay. All right, we'll move on to the general manager's report then.
Hello, good evening. Admin, Water, and Fire have been working on the mid-year budget adjustments on the Parks, Recreation, Finance, and Utility Advisory Committees. Reviewed the document at their December and January meetings and provided staff with their suggested amendments. This item had a final review from finance, and any additional comments will be brought to the board's attention during finance committee update, which Marshall and I can do. This item is under consent agenda item 11E. Staff's been working with the ad hoc committee on the refinancing of the wastewater bonds. We've been signing a lot of paperwork and reading a lot of reports, so... Yeah, and staff's been moving the offices, so we're done. We're already in Suite 110, so if you have payments, please make sure to go to Suite 110. The water conservation campaign, since this, I've already picked up the entry forms from Monarch Grove and Baywood Elementary. Board's been reviewing them. We still have to have Golden State review and the Chamber review the forms. So that way we can have something prepared for winner's list for the business expo for the Chamber's putting on March 14th. I do have Tony here, so if there's, I know some changes happened since the last time I wrote this report. So the middle school, this quarter, they're not doing video production. So we're not going to have any videos available for a contest for this March business expo, but they do have it in their last quarter, and it sounded like they do want to do something during that time. So we would get, if everybody's still okay, we Tony and I felt that it would still be okay to receive these videos. We could still use them. We would have them by June, so we could do something special for those kids during that time. Depending on how much money we raise is going to depend how many winners we have. So we'll just have to set aside money to make sure to leave money to for the winning entries for the videos. And as far as that goes, Tony's been outselling me on getting donations. So we're way over $1,000 now between the two of us, and Chamber hasn't even started working on that yet. So we're raising some great donations out there, which should cover this program, we should cover the expenses, which will cover the awards and the banners and anything we decide to purchase with that. All the money is going straight to the Chamber. We're not touching any of it. We've set aside, as a board, we set aside $200 to donate. So that's what it's going to cost us to do this campaign. Did you want to add anything to kind of cover it? We got it. Okay. The only other thing is the NBS report. Although we are refinancing bonds, they have to still keep doing their job. So attached is the Wastewater Assessment District Limited Obligation Improvement Bonds Continuing Disclosure Annual Report. So this is their annual report, and
They have to, per the Section 5 of the Continuous Disclosure Agreement for the bonds, MBS is required to disclose a notice on the ML website following this event, and the report is attached to the General Manager's report. We have to say it out loud because we have to let the public know that it is something that's available, and they do all the posting on their site. And for now, that is all for the General Manager's report, unless anybody has any questions.
Any questions? Okay. LOCAC report.
Good evening. David Harris, our chairperson, was unable to be here tonight, so I was elected to give the report from LOCAC. We seated a new member to the council, Sue Morgan Thaler, and she was appointed by Supervisor Gibson to replace outgoing appointee David Hunter. County Planner Carrie Brown said there would be a public meeting in the near future on the First Street Bill Lee project. She also said the community plan update for Los Osos was being delayed pending the release of the Habitat Conservation Plan. So if you're interested in the First Street project, get your pencils ready. I'll give you the information about that meeting at the end of this report. Supervisor Gibson introduced his new legislative assistant, Blake Fixler, and he is replacing retiring Sherry McKee. Our consent agenda was comprised of three cannabis projects and one home construction project, and they went through with support without discussion. Our regular agenda had one vacation rental item on it, which, as they all do, drew a large number of speakers, most of whom were people in opposition to the project. The applicant was there and presented her story, which was a very sympathetic story. But LOCAC had put together some rules on vacation rentals, which has yet to be vetted through the county. And because this vacation rental didn't agree with the guidelines, there was a vote on it, and so there was no support. The vote was denied 9-2 votes to support this vacation rental. The minutes and the audio recording of the meeting can be found on our website, locac.info. And if you are interested in attending the public meeting to discuss the First Street project, that's from Santa Maria to the Bay. It's a very short block. The meeting will take place on Wednesday, February 13th, 2019, at 4:30 in the afternoon. The location is First Street, outside at the rear of the Back Bay Inn. The draft agenda is access to the bay, pedestrian accessibility along First Street to the bay, the Baywood Pier, and Second Street, vehicular accessibility, parking configuration, potential surfacing of First Street, and landscape plantings, and that's what will be on the agenda. So everybody in the public is invited to attend, and that's my report. Any questions from the board?
Any questions? Okay, moving on. Next item on the agenda is the Chamber of Commerce report, which is my report. What can I say? I'm sorry. So I just wanted to, we did have, well, the Chamber had their annual community awards dinner and installation last month. It was at South Bay Community Center. I think we had over 80 people in attendance. It was catered by Martine's Restaurant. Everybody seemed to enjoy the food. Rick Robinette from Los Osos Middle School was the master of ceremonies. He was standing in for Bob Wacker because Bob Wacker did the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce Award installation dinner the following day in San Luis Obispo, and he said he couldn't do them back-to-back, so I don't know. So there was recognition of the outgoing board of directors, which was Steve Vincent, Sherry Grimm, Olivia Martinez, and Jim Stanfield. And then Commander Michael did the installation. So the officers for the upcoming year are Marshall Ohilski, president, Jim Stanfield, treasurer, Lynette Tornatsky, secretary, and Tim Carstairs, president-elect. And the directors are John Cascamo, Rita Flores, Richard Joseph, Tony Lindstrom, Olivia Martinez, Dean Marchant, and Gabe Quiroz. And then I gave a little talk on building our future. I'm not publicizing the paper, but if you look at the Chamber of Commerce website, my talk is on there. Stressing shopping local and doing everything local was the stress of my talk, and that's what my agenda is for the upcoming year. And then we had, last but not least, the presentation of the awards. So first presentation was for Business of the Year, which was Chrysler Construction. And then second presentation was the 2018 Volunteer of the Year, Ed Gelb. And last, and certainly not least, was the Citizen of the Year Award, which was Linda Quisenberry. So it was a very, very good event, I thought. And so that's an update on that, what happened. And then the upcoming thing, we're not going to have a mixer in February, but upcoming event is the Business Expo, which is at the South Bay Community Center on March 14th. And that's all I have for that report until I get to my next report. Okay, now you can get up. I know you thought Steve wasn't here, so you were next. I know.
Thank you. Tom Wright, the coordinator of the Los Osos Focus Group of the Fire Safe Council. Our next meeting is next Monday, right here in this very room at 10 a.m., and everyone is welcome. We hope to have an introduction with the new county parks person. We'll be working in the Monarch Grove area, and that's county land, and he's all for us going in and doing some hazard fuel reduction in that area. We're waiting to work with our new fire chief or the interim chief. I have a email in to the new assistant chief ranger, so hopefully we'll get a name that we can pronounce and get him involved in Los Osos. There's a CERT meeting for those in the community emergency response team arena. Tuesday, February 19th at the Morro Bay Fire Station at 6:30 p.m. in the evening. You're all welcome to that. And that's all I have. Any questions? Thank you.
Nope, thank you. Okay, the ad hoc committee update regarding bond refinancing. I think Chris and I were on that committee, as everybody knows. Just to give you a quick update on that, we did make it over the finish line in time. So just to give you an overview, when we first came to the board with a presentation, the preliminary results that we had based on the bond refinancing, and that was based on the assumption of a triple B rating, and what it was going to be was, the savings, the cash flow savings was going to be $1.371 million. And that's what it was going to be back when we came on 110. There was a lot of work done over that next few weeks. The bond rating actually got increased to an A-. Working diligently, Christine, Renee, ourselves, and all of the consultants that we had. So we got a A-minus bond rating, and then our preliminary pricing was going to be $1.9 million savings. And then we had a call the day before we were going to actually finalize the bond rating, or pardon me, the bond pricing. We were all on the phone saying, hope that nothing happens overnight because they get locked in the morning. And it came in. We were basically at the best point we could have possibly been. So the total cash flow savings worked out to be $2,003,020, which based on their net present value, NPV savings percent, it worked out to be a 15.33% savings. So I want to thank Chris for all her work on this because we couldn't have done it without her. Renee and all of the people that worked with us on this particular item, including Roy. So the savings again is 2003020. So that's what it worked out to be. Do you have anything to add, Chris?
So that's for 4,188 properties. So it's around $474 savings per property on average.
Yep. Okay, thank you. So now we'll move on to standing committee local appointments list. That's a list that's just in the agenda.
We're missing Utility Advisory Committee.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed
finance.
You.
Finance.
I missed finance my own. So. I'm sorry. We'll go to Utility Advisory. Thank you for pointing that out.
Okay. Yeah, we met our usual third Wednesday of last month and went over all of the work that the crews have been doing. You'll see a couple items later in the general action items that we spent majority of our time talking about, and that would be the decreasing costs of the septic tank decommissioning at Bay Ridge Estates and the changes to the water yard building that we've been wanting. If you remember at our last board meeting, we passed a resolution even talking about building to state fire codes instead of local county fire codes. And after some discussion, I went in and talked to Jose, and we've decided that maybe we should bring it back to the board and take a different look at this whole picture. And I didn't remember the ADA compliance being a part of that, but I guess that's another of the county's hooks in us. One thing I did want to point out, and this is for the next UAC agenda, from the minutes that our board did refer the penalty policy back to us for reconsideration, the leak policy. We had that one large bill. And so we don't have a way to grant relief. Do we want to even consider that? So that got kicked back. We'll need to have that on our agenda. And with that, we'll wait for items 12D and E to talk more.
Any questions? Okay, moving on to Financial Advisory Committee, me again. So the committee did discuss the items that are on the agenda. So the warrant register, there was a committee recommendation to the board that the board approve the warrant register with the qualification that was previously mentioned by Ms. Tacker, was that they believed or recommending that all costs attributable to the district from the election should be paid for by the county. So since they're not being charged for holding a special election, they should be reimbursing us for these costs. So that was the recommendation, that approve the financial reports, but with the recommendation or direction to the board that we should bill the county for any of the costs involved with the legal costs and other costs involved with the resolution of the election issue. So the mid-year budget, or pardon me, the financial reports, there was a question primarily about the same item, but there was also a question about the reports in the warrant register, and the numbers in the financial reports did not match 100%. And we did get the answer to that question, which was, they were generated at a different period of time. That's why the numbers didn't match. So in the future, we'll try to get the same period of time in the report so they do match. I think that was pretty much a no-brainer. Then there were some specific questions that Adrian wasn't there, our bookkeeper accountant, and Renee was sick, and you can probably tell she's still a little hoarse. But those items were going to be addressed and brought back for informational items. And I know Renee has some of them to talk about. But before I get there, so the mid-year budget adjustment was recommended. And then the water drainage reserves was recommended. And then regarding the other item was the low-income assistance fund, which this committee referred back to the Financial Advisory Committee. And what they recommended, since there's still 200 people, I believe is the correct number, that have not hooked up to the sewer yet, that instead of trying to start out with a new program right now, to just still have that money available for people that may need that funding under the low income criteria. So they suggested, and I think this was what they even wanted to say in the motion, but that we kick the can down the road until everybody that needs to be hooked up and the notices of violation have gone out to all of the residents so they're aware that they have to hook them up. But until those notices went out and people were really aware that they had to do something, that we just keep the program in place. So that was the recommendation on that. Renee, if you want to speak to any of those questions, go ahead.
Some of the other questions that were... Ms. Tacker had a question about the... We had two NBS invoices in there, and she just wanted to make sure that none of them were related to the bond financing, and they're not. The other report is just a little bit more... The other invoice was just a little bit more because there was some additional work that NBS had to do on one of the property owners, and that's the only reason that amount was different, because the amounts are usually the same, and I know that that's probably what caught your attention. There was a question about fire's budget. There was a under PPE, under personal protection equipment, they were already tapped. They tapped that line item out, and was, you know, if they were planning on leaving it like that, or, you know, and I did speak to Harmony, and they said that they were done, that they had, they've already stocked up. And so, yes, they do intend to leave that that one, that particular line item, exactly where it is. That was done intentionally. Adrian's message, I just wanted to read it to you guys so that you guys could understand about the difference in reports. And this is the problem. This is something that Ms. Kudart and I always bring up to you guys, is that, you know, trying to get you guys a board packet on time ahead of, you know, within those 5 days, we have to do reports based on other people's reports. And if somebody else changes their report after our reports are already in, then it kind of messes everybody else's reports up. So what Adrian's message said is, the reason is that when you created your mid-year report, you used at that time the most up-to-date information available. However, I created the monthly actuals report that we actually ended up using a few days later, maybe even a week. The financial statements are very much alive. If I were to print the same report today, it would have changed again. This is because I'm making journal entries and we are recording expenses as we know about them. The only time something gets set in stone is after we have audited financial statements and I close the period permanently. So I just wanted to make sure to read that to you guys, so you understand that. And there was something else. Nope, those are the only answers I have right now at this time. Okay. But that at least helps with the mid-year budget. And and there were some changes that we obviously wanted to capture because of January expenses, which if you approve... the mid-year budget, it's in consent. If you approve it, then that is my recommendation, is that when I input those numbers, that I also will have January numbers and we'll have to adjust those line items because of some of the items that are in the January warrant report. And so I'll present you in March in the revenue expense report. You'll see the new mid-year in there, and we'll have one more opportunity. If there's something else you guys want to change, we will have one more chance at it, if that's what you guys would like.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay, then now I can move on to...
No, I have a comment that I missed your Finance Committee meeting the other night, and maybe this, I guess, explains it all. Make sure I understand this. So the fact that we have different totals for the same... listings here, say for property taxes underwater, yes. Both dated 12/31/18. One is the mid-year budget adjustment, and the other is the monthly actuals. Mm-hmm. Both say 12/31/18, right, but different amounts.
Yeah, because So when I printed up the report to incorporate it into the mid-year, she was, you know, I thought she was done. She said she was done. And then some other items came in. She finalized her reports, and I wasn't paying attention. I'll just take full responsibility that I didn't realize that she had moved that money over already and didn't. And at that point, my report was already in and done, and I didn't even know to make that additional change. So when I do the mid-year, it will be in there.
when I actually.
So each of our committees will get another look at the mid-year adjustment.
I mean, we could. I mean, we could drag it out, I guess, again.
Well, I mean, I've got different totals for property taxes. Reserves, vehicle reserves are different.
I didn't hear any.
There's one place where vehicle replacement reserve is listed, I think, at $144,000. And somewhere else, it's less than that.
In water?
Water was pretty much what I focused on because I haven't
just haven't
paid attention to fire. The balance sheet. As of 12/31/2018.
That's what we spent.
Okay. That's what we've spent.
This is year to date. These are based off of expenses. So fiscal year to date. These are expenses. That's not the balance in the reserve. That's what we spent, and that's the truck we just purchased in September.
Okay, I guess I'm confused because every other reserve amount matches between the year-to-date and the monthlies. But then I think I'd like another look at it. I don't know how I missed this before, and that would be the mid-year budget adjustment, water, item 7326, legal services. Year-to-date, we've spent $22,497. We had $11,000 budgeted, and there's no adjustment mid-year.
Yeah, and that was what I was just the item that I was just talking about with Marshall, is that we have to make several adjustments because of January expenses. No, that's up to completely up to you guys. If you guys want to,
does the $22,497 include January expenses?
No, it doesn't.
Says 12.
It doesn't. Yeah. So that's what I mean. That's what I just asked for, is to be able to make those adjustments that were pointed out.
Because I had trouble actually following adjustments and the logic behind when we worry about increasing a particular budget by $500, by $20, when other places it seems like there are thousands of dollar adjustments that could or couldn't be made.
Were these discussed at Utility Advisory? Because I didn't.
See, I don't remember getting into them there. And I'm just trying to remember. It's shocking to me, that legal one, why it wasn't brought up. And then I guess I'll end that with, without knowing where these Jason Zatt, wherever that settlement's coming from in the water budget.
It's going into legal per our auditor.
So that really needs to be adjusted.
Yeah, that was the comment I made to Marshall, that per the January warrants, that we need to adjust the legal for those two items.
Okay, if we get to look at that again in committee, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none. I'm sorry, I didn't see
you. No.
So the next item on that administrative committee reports is item K, which is just a list of the current members of the committee. Each year we're supposed to publish this report for informational purposes. So if you look at that, obviously all of Lou's appointees are gone. And then there's one vacancy for Director Womack under the Utility Advisory Committee. So that's the purpose of this item, just so you can see what committee members are in their positions and what ones are vacant. So with that, then, I'm going to go ahead and move on to item L, which is the appointment of chairpersons, vice chair, and district representatives. So without further ado, Financial Advisory Committee, I'm going to appoint myself as the chair and Chris as the vice chair. No surprises there. Utility Advisory, Chuck as the chair, and then Matthew as the vice chair. ESAC, Vicki as the chair, and then Chuck as the vice chair. Parks and Recreation, Matthew as the chair, and then Chris as the vice chair. So, Basin Management Committee, I'm going to keep myself on there since I just got reelected as the chair. And then, Chuck, you want to continue as the vice, or pardon me, my alternate?
Yes.
Okay, and then RAC, Chuck, you want to continue on that as our representative?
Yes.
And then I'm going to appoint Renee as your alternate.
Okay.
And then these next...
Every month, no matter what, just so you know, because we're working on grants, and or that's just IRWM, so you'll just do RAC, and I'll just do IRWM.
That ought to work, because IRWM seems to be the
grant
nuts and bolts.
Yeah. So I'll do
and,
that one.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Well, yeah, okay. That works.
Okay, and then with the Morro Bay Estuary Program, I'm going to continue to appoint myself. We don't really need an alternate on that because we only meet quarterly and I attend every meeting. CAPSLO, Chuck, we're going to reappoint you to CAPSLO. I don't think you need an alternate for that either, do you?
Yeah.
And then Fire Safe Council, Vicki, you'll be willing to continue in that role?
Yes.
And then I'm going to, for LOCAC, what I'm going to do this year is something different that we used to do, but I'm going to revert back to that. So each meeting, we're going to go ahead and revolve who gives the report rather than having a single member. So I gave the report at January, and I'm doing this in alphabetical order. So it'll be me last month or January. Then, Chris, you get February. Chuck, you get March. Matthew, you get April. Vicki, you get May. And then it's back to me. So I'm going to go with that order, and then we'll just rotate it around. But, Chris, you're up next to give our report there.
So you know I'm on there, so I'm there every month.
But I'd like to have – I think it's helpful to give different directors to come just so they get a different perspective.
Okay.
That's why I'm doing that. So a couple other things, and I talked to Matthew the other day, and he jogged my mind, and I know you don't know this, Matthew, so brace yourself. I'm going to appoint an ad hoc committee, which is Matthew, which is going to look into the social media experience for the district. Because I think, as was mentioned by Lou, having somebody younger and somebody that has the social media skills may be helpful. So I'm appointing you to an ad hoc committee to look into the social media. And it's something we talked about the other day. I know with Nextdoor and things like that, we need to be able to do outreach. So you get a couple months to get back to us with the program.
Okay. So for you mean social media and just getting, and that can be getting
could be next door,
out,
however we do it. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
I'm on board with that.
I figured you were since you brought the subject up
yeah.
with me. But I didn't talk to you about it before.
That's
so
fine. Perfect.
So,
can at some point I would like to talk about the bond refinancing
oh.
and just a possible press release or some way to let the community know
okay.
of what I see. I think everybody here sees as a giant win for everybody in Los Osos. I kind of forgot to talk about that. I was caught
okay.
up in the moment, but
I'm sorry.
But it kind of goes along with what you were just talking about. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think it'd be helpful to get something out, and I know we can work with Dean Sullivan and get something in the Sterile Bay News, et cetera. So.
And that'll be our financial advisor will help us with that. It's actually so they sell the bonds, and then we refund the outstanding bonds, and that is still that happens March 4th. So we're
right.
not totally done yet. And so it'd probably be after that that they would help us with the press release.
Yeah, and our intent is at that first meeting in March, they're going to be here. And then that's when we'll actually have the whole thing finalized
yeah.
because it will be done on March 4th. It's normally March 2nd, but that's a weekend day. So it's going to be March 4th. So if we can start working on that for that first weekend or
yeah.
pardon me, the first meeting in March would be helpful.
I think it may be worthwhile to send out something in the interim, just that this process is going, it's looking really good. The feedback I'm getting from the community is a blank stare. You're doing what? We have no idea. And I think this is a really positive thing that we should you know, help move along besides wait till.
Well,
the
I brought
month.
It up. I told them it was important to us as a community to have, you know, be able to spread good news. But they kind of recommended not jumping the gun and waiting for it to be finalized. And I think it probably, I mean, March 7th will be here pretty quick. for, I mean, they'll be here to when all the results are finalized and give a report again on our actual results, and it's probably at that point. I mean, but yes, I'm okay. Also anxious to tell everybody.
Yeah. Well, I just want to make sure that you know, property owners in the town and ratepayers understand that something is happening here. I know that they can come to this meeting and read the agenda, but I think there's kind of a lack of knowledge right now.
Well, I think you and Chris can work together on that. So how does that sound?
Perfect.
Okay. So one last thing on my appointments here. So for next meeting, the chairs of these standing committees, we need to have your work programs because they have to be approved by the board. So I'm asking Ann right now to send all the chairs, the work programs that were approved for last year, and any amendments to those work programs to the various chairs. And then we'll need to have your guys' comment back from your committee as soon as we can, so we can make sure that, because under our bylaws, the work programs have to be approved by the board, and then the committees just implement them, for lack of a better term. So, and if you have any questions about that, I can work with you on that. Okay? All right. So moving on to that, then we get Director Forcroy's appointments to the District Advisory Committee and Chris's. Do you want to go first, Chris? You have a vacancy on UAC.
Yeah, I'm still working on that.
Okay.
I have a couple ideas out, and I also want to mention Joyce Witt wants to step down.
Oh.
So we need to find another finance person. Oh, and I was wondering if
whose Matthew? Appointee is Joyce Witt's?
Vicky's.
Oh, okay. So you guys will have to work on that then. Okay.
But I was wondering if Matthew wanted to take Andrea Luker for Parks and Rec, and I would, because I don't think there's anyone there from Baywood, and I would like to kind of see if I can. No?
Yeah, I can't do that. I already have an appointee that I've worked with.
Yeah, Andrea lives in Baywood. She lives right behind me.
Oh, I meant from school, someone like a parent from the school.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. That ship has sailed, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, Matthew, we're moving on to you for your appointments.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to first just say how much I appreciate all of the volunteers in Los Osos, which includes a lot of people in this room. It's what makes our community what it is, and we have so much input, which leads to all the discussions we're having here, which are good things. And so every one of these appointees has served prior, and they're going to keep serving. For Parks and Rec, I'd like to appoint Jennifer Ferrangi. For Emergency Services, Craig Baltimore. For Finance, Sherry Grimm. And Utilities, Ron Munns. I got a chance to sit down with each one of these people in the last few weeks and really have good discussions about our town, and there's a lot of history in a lot of these people, so there's a lot of history to talk about, and even more importantly, the future going forward. So I want to, again, thank all the volunteers, especially these four who've stepped up again to serve the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so if you two guys have vacancies, you can discuss for next meeting. Okay. Announcements of our district and community interest and reports on attendance, public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Okay.
I'll give you a little bit of the RAC meeting yesterday. It was actually pretty interesting to hear that people actually noticed things like, I think it was 11 of the 13 water districts in the county increased water usage last year. So I hope we're one of the two that didn't. I think it was on an annual basis. They weren't looking monthly. So I'm not sure where we stand, but people are actually watching that kind of thing. Here's a little bit of the agenda of that meeting, kind of what we looked at. There's a rain and reservoir report, a lot of the things that utilities goes through here. But under the future groundwater basin management efforts, I'd like to give them an update on Los Osos and what our basin management committee's been doing. And particularly, it'd be a little bit more than that, actually, because there was some interest in projects like our stormwater recapture. And there was a lot of discussion around that and the regulatory aspect of trying to put something like that together. And I think a lot of these people were maybe looking at a different project than we might be looking at, in that they were basically capturing and wanting to infiltrate, whereas we're looking at possibly cleaning up through the treatment plant and going to recharge. So I want to sit down and find out where that project's at and maybe present that at the RAC, along with some of the challenges that we've had with the Basin Management Committee, the new well that we're wanting to drill, and some of the reaction that that's been getting. I also would like to talk to that group about something that I talked to the Basin Management Committee about, and that was the recycled water contracts. And we did get that. Hopefully we'll get that on the agenda for Basin Management Committee next month. I did talk to the reporter at the New Times, as I was told to do, and I think they're going to be following up with a story. She wants to talk to the farmers and talk to them about their side of the story and what kind of investments they've made and where that stands with them. So who knows? Something may come out of that. Capsule meetings are pretty boring compared to that. But, you know, that whole new 40 Prado Center is open, and if you haven't been by there before, it's pretty incredible. It's a focus of all the needs that are out there for the needy people that we see all the time. There's a new one living across the street from me now, and it's sad to see. But Capsulo's doing great things, and there's more public service announcements I'll be talking to Channel 20 about. And I'm glad that the outreach committee did not meet this week. That would have been one too many meetings. And that's it.
Thank you.
Can I ask a quick question about Capsulo?
Mm-hmm.
I was approached about from some bicyclists that were talking about a potential bike lane down LOVR, and they thought it was associated like with Capstone microturbines all day. Capslo committee or subcommittee. I wasn't sure about bikes. Was it Slocog?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, they pretty much handle all of the transportation.
So I misunderstood that.
Policy for that, yeah.
Okay. So Basin Management Committee, we met. Was a relatively quick meeting. We did our officers for calendar 2019. We kept the same officers as we had the previous year, which was me as the chair, Mark as the vice chair. My mind went blank. Oh, Charlie as the secretary and Bruce as the treasurer. And then we got an update on the Basin Management Plan infrastructure projects, which includes the East Side Well, which is a controversial issue, as everybody knows. So we're going to be dealing with that over the future. We got a report on the metric trends for the groundwater basin, and it shows, again, it seems to be holding steady or reversing just a little bit. And then we did adopt our annual budget contingent upon the various parties, all four of the parties, approving their portion of it. And Chuck did get up and talk about the concern about the dry land farmers. Bruce did have a quick response, but it is something we will agendize at a future meeting for discussion. So that's what happened at the Basin Management Committee.
So what was Bruce's response?
Do you want to talk about that?
You're the chair. Go right ahead.
The response was that they entered into contracts with these people, and as far as Whether they actually contributed to the groundwater basin or not is something that they would have to look into. Is that a good way to put it? Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So then we'll take public comment. Well, first of all, does anybody want to pull any items on the consent agenda? I do want to make a clarification or a direction on one item, but go ahead.
Well, we should remove 11E. There's no reason to even have it on there.
Okay. Is that okay with everybody? Okay, we'll remove 11E. We will still take public comment on it because we have to. But I just want to have one thing. This is the direction that I talked about from the Financial Advisory Committee regarding the warrant register that we'd like to, and I don't know how to do this, Roy, but just basically that we
don't
should.
Don't all take care of it.
You'll take care of it?
Yes.
You know what I'm going to say?
Yes.
Okay. So billing the county for the, okay, thank you. All right, so we'll leave that on consent agenda, and then we'll pull 11E, or pardon me, the remove 11E. So we take public comment on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, please.
Lindy Owen, I wanted to just a question for the general manager. I've been told that as of November, December, and January, there's not been any CSD meetings shown on Channel 20, questioning whether we've lost our contract or something has changed. Again, I hope that we're not going to produce more banners when we get to the conservation big to-do. And again, I think there should be some oversight on what kind of banners we choose. The simplest banners are just reminder banners, and I personally just, it's clutter to see the kids' drawings blown up. And, I mean, it's good for the kids, but it doesn't necessarily put the message out. So, again, I just, I have a better, I think there's a better design for getting messages out on banners than... I wanted to also, I'm very curious, I turned in an application for the utilities, and when was the cutoff for that? And today at 5 o'clock? And so I'm not sure, have you gotten any other applications? Because if you haven't, I'm questioning why that isn't filled with one application, considering that that's under your jurisdiction. And then I just wanted to go back. Oh, that's about it.
Thank you.
No.
Okay.
Julie Tacker, and I first want to say thank you to Tom Wright. This item 11H is much appreciated. As the daughter of a reading specialist. So then with regard to your receiving the financial reports for the period ending December 31st, 2018, some months ago your board directed that there would be an accounting every month for the Low Income Assistance Fund, and it's not there. So that didn't happen. And the other thing I wanted to talk about that you have pulled from your agenda is the mid-year budget adjustments. And with regard to the ZAT legal matter, I'd like to see a healthier conversation, as I mentioned in public comment. I believe that these human resource matters are administration, and I don't believe the water ratepayers should have to bear the burden of this expensive issue. I also believe that you could look into an insurance claim or hold your general management consulting firm accountable through the contract that you have with them. The general man, are you excuse me, apparently you have a conversation that you need to have, and I don't get to speak uninterrupted. The explanation that Ms. Osborne gave about the differing amounts of money on the two different reports, and that she printed her report before the other report was finalized. This was brought to her attention on Monday through the Finance Committee. A revised report could have been before your board today by very simply going to the software, and as of that date, you print the report. And it should have all been reconciled. So I don't quite understand how we're into February and those reports are not comprehensive and cohesive.
Thank you.
I have to agree. I don't understand how you can have two different agenda items with financial statements that say as of 12/31. I understand the explanation, but I don't believe it's appropriate. I heard nothing during the Finance Committee report about my question, number of questions, about 11G, the reconciliation of the water reserves. You have in the staff report 6 additions to the reserve. 3 of them, I asked the question what the source of that addition was and did not get an answer. The chair said that we would get an answer, but we still don't have an answer. And as I stated at the finance meeting, the page attached from the audit, which the general manager constantly uses, comes from the audited, from our annual audit. The numbers that were in that page were not audited by the auditor. It's from the management letter. I keep telling you, you don't have verifiable reserve amounts. And now you have 3 items here. 2 of them, I think, can be explained. But I bet there's not a director that knows what number 3 is. Capital outlay, board-directed capital outlay, an addition of $92,873. Because if that was the case, the chair of the committee should have had an answer for that on Monday. We still have no answer to that. I don't believe your reserve and the reconciliation below in the written portion of this is missing a ton of information. Revenues of $2,747,000 exceeded operating expenses and capital improvements, period. By how much? And how does that number relate to the 2 numbers above it? The 380, the 64,568. I know that agenda item's only about moving 32,000 from the rate stabilization reserve into the capital reserve. But the rest of the staff report has information about what the total dollar is for those reserves, and it's inaccurate, or there's no explanation.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, we'll close public comment. So can I have a motion to receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda? With the exception of 11E.
Can I just say so moved?
Yes, you may.
So moved.
Okay, so do we need to have a, we do? Okay, roll call vote.
I don't know.
Oh, we didn't have a second.
I second the motion.
Okay. So do you want to answer those questions? Or
there was only, I mean, I only hear the one that has to do with the water reserves that we're moving over, and I have the question to Adrienne, and she hadn't gotten back to me yet. So again, those have to, as far as I know, those have to do with when we approved, when the board approved, I think, what money was, I did it backwards. Sorry. When the board approved the budget, that's what I think it is.
We'll discuss that at next month's Financial Advisory Committee meeting then.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that's on our agenda.
I'll have her do that.
Hopefully we'll be able to schedule. We may have to reschedule the meeting, but hopefully so she can be there.
Well, as long as it's on a Monday. She was done with her birth classes.
Okay.
Because
I think it's very helpful to have her there.
Well, of course.
She's the one that doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take a vote then, unless there's more discussion. All in favor?
Why are you approving?
All in favor?
No, don't I need roll call.
Oh, you need roll call? Okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
Ordinance and resolution.
Okay.
Director Womack?
Yes.
Director Millage?
Yes.
Director Forcroyd?
Yes.
Vice President Sasania?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would like to thank Mr. Wright for his library box. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to general action items. 12A is not used. Then 12B is the bylaws and rules of decorum. I had appointed an ad hoc committee of myself and Chuck to review them. So we have before you tonight, included in the staff report, the red line. I'll just run through them briefly, Chuck, and you can chime in if you have anything to say. The first few items on the first few pages is just for consistency purposes. Some place it calls the president the board president, and in some places it calls the president of the board of directors. So this was just for consistency purposes. And then what I wanted to do, and Chuck and I talked about this, was to make sure that the vice president was basically the president-elect. And the concern was raised, you know, but what happens if that person is really untenable, for lack of a better term? So we decided that instead of just saying that person was the president-elect, we said that person was the president-elect, unless there's a 4/5 vote to preclude that. So if there's something that person ends up being problematic, then that person could be precluded by a 4/5 vote. But so basically it allows for the automatic moving up. And then moving along, the next item that we dealt with was director's compensation, and we're going to have a little more discussion about that a little bit later. But what we did was in section 9.1, what we tried to clarify what people were eligible for compensation for. So we said compensation for each regular, adjourned, or special meeting of the board of directors, each required training session, each standing committee meeting of which said director is either the chairperson or the vice chairperson, each ad hoc committee meeting or other function meeting attended by him, her as a director at the direction of the board of directors. So in order for somebody to get compensation, they would have to have prior approval, basically, and that was the intent of this language there. So you couldn't come back later and say, well, I thought I was going to get reimbursed for this. No. So the regular board meetings, a training session, the standing committees, which are either the chair or the vice chair, the ad hoc committee, or other functions that you attend at the specific direction of the board of directors. And I think one of the things that Chuck and I talked about is that both the chairperson and the vice chairperson, it's important that both of them are at every committee meeting, because if for some reason the chairperson isn't able to come to a meeting, the vice chair has to be totally up to speed on what's going on at that committee. Otherwise, we basically lost a meeting. Is that true, Chuck?
Yep.
Okay, and then there's a few cleanup things, and then the last item that we talked about was standing committees, and we wanted to do some clarification here. And the way, and I was on the ad hoc committee with John Eric Storm when he wrote this rules, and the whole idea was here, and what we talked about was that the standing committee members are basically the same as a planning commissioner in the county of San Luis Obispo or in the city of San Luis Obispo or whatever city, where they serve at the pleasure of the person that's appointing them. So we just wanted to make sure that that was crystal clear here, that they didn't have to reapply every year, but that if I didn't like the job that somebody was doing, I could remove them. But it was totally at my pleasure, or my whether I was satisfied with the work they're doing. So in the first one, though, there was a cleanup there where summary notes of each meeting shall be forwarded to the board of directors as a public record. So we wanted to make sure that these reports were in writing and they were forwarded to the board. And it says in here that they not only the opinions of the board, it includes the opinion of all the members of the board, the members that occurred with each opinion, concurred, and the members that were a minority report. So we wanted to make sure that all that information got to the board. So, and this is something that's fallen through the cracks. Unfortunately, we haven't been doing this, but I want to stress that we're going to be doing this from now on, that the chair or the vice chair, if they're chairing the meeting, is going to be required to provide us with summary notes of each meeting, not just a verbal report, but a written report. So that's something we're going to have to do. And then we clarified that the chairperson will attend every one of the meetings because, as I mentioned, Chuck and I thought it was important. And then we clarified that there was no specific term for the person on the committee unless that appointing board of directors member was no longer on the board. And that's pretty much what we did there. I think that was it, Chuck, unless you have something to add to any of that. And we will talk more about the compensation on a later item. So, yes? No?
No, that sums it up pretty well.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions on this? Okay, we'll go to public comment on the bylaws amendments.
Lindy, in the last comment, I requested to understand why, if you had a deadline for applications for committees, and that deadline was the 4th, why Ms. Womack, I guess, has chosen not to make a decision because there's only one applicant. Again, is this personal? I just don't know. How long are we extending the application period if we are extending it? I would like a comment from you guys because this goes back to Steve Best and some of the behavior that I've seen in the past. So, again, if you have one applicant and you have one opening left, and the deadline was on Monday or Tuesday, I would like an explanation why there's no choice being made tonight. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Julie Tacker, and I'd like to speak to the director's compensation bylaw and the changes. But first, I'd like to preface my remarks with Community Services District's Principal Enabling Act is Government Code Section 61,000, all inclusive. And I'd like to see the bylaws comply with the law that is 61047. I'd also like to see, there's only one reference to 61047 in your bylaws, and it's with regard to not to exceed the $600 a month, but 61047 applies to everything to do with what is a meeting. It's defined there. And ad hoc committees are not
Brown Act committees. These meetings, things that the board has directed you to do, are days of service, have to be a Brown Act meeting, have to be directed ahead of time, and the ad hoc committee, unless you change the language, is directed by the board president, not the board. Additionally, no previous bylaws have specified ad hoc committees, and this will not be retroactive. So the ad hoc committees that have been compensated for in the past were done so as ineligible compensation. Outside of the bylaws, I would like to suggest some director compensation rules and regulations. Because they need to be transparent. Clearly, there's been some mistakes, abuses, whatever you want to call them. We haven't seen them, and it was only by happenstance that I asked to see them in December because of a comment in a staff report and something Ms. Osborne said, and found that there's a significant of ineligible charges to the district. For the most thorough transparency, I would suggest that the way that directors are paid, and Marshall, if you'll allow.
Just finish this thought, and then you can
trying to get
it.
There. Is through the independent contractor, like a 1099, instead of putting these things on payroll. Part of what I'm suggesting as a cure.
Okay, but your time's up.
In the regulations. And then, yes, that was it. Just for transparency, let's see it on the warrant register rather than in payroll that doesn't come before the public.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment on the bylaws? Okay. Close public comment and bring it back. I did have a question, Roy, based on what came up about the... the 61...
047.
Yeah. Could you maybe comment on that?
Which part?
About ad hoc committees aren't eligible. It had to be a Brown Act committee?
Well, the Brown Act applies... The Brown Act is what defines ad hoc committees. So there's no way in the world to say that an ad hoc committee isn't a Brown Act committee. That's where the definition of ad hoc committee comes from. No. The mere fact that you generally have the president appoint members, in my mind, wouldn't change that, because the board as a whole has the right to overrule the president. The president has no power over anything except as conferred by the board. Its president is one vote out of five on all issues. Even on simple things as you're directing the meeting, if the board disagrees, all a board member has to do is make a motion to overrule the chair. If they get a second and then three votes vote to overrule the president, that's no ruling. So I don't see a problem there. But other than that, I haven't been tasked with reviewing the issue.
Okay. Okay, well, we have some bylaws before you. Are there any other discussion?
So to address Lindy, my understanding was it was my appointee, and I appreciate that you submitted an application. I have someone in mind, and I'm waiting for them to get back to me.
So there's no deadline?
What's that?
No back and forth. You answered the question. Okay, so can we have a motion here, one way or the other, please?
I I move that the board adopt resolution 2019-09, adopting the 2019 Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors bylaws and rules of decorum.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, I have a motion and second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, we need a roll call vote because it's a resolution.
Vice President Sasania?
Yes.
Director Forcroy?
Yes.
Director Millage? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
President Ohilsky?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now we'll move on to the report regarding the Board of Directors compensation.
Okay, so while staff was working on the mid-year budget, it was discovered that the admin fund, the GL code is 7322 for Board of Director compensation, was already close to half of its budgeted amount, and so staff made an adjustment to the line item, and accordingly, staff also reviewed a Board of Director compensation forms for the entire 2018 year. And once the mistakes were encountered, staff continued to review 16 and 17 director compensation forms. So I have the, at the time with the 2018 bylaws, what director compensation, 9.0 from 9.5. And after reviewing the, and it was also, by the way, I spoke to both the president and the vice president and some past presidents and vice presidents, let me see, which item is it? What 9.2 meant, and what it included, it was there. Everybody's in view of reviewing those, reviewing that with that ad hoc committees did apply. So that is what I used my. That's how I formed my opinion. So if for whatever reason you guys have a difference of opinion, just let me know. But after reviewing all of the forms, and I did include them for 2016 all the way through 2018, they are attached. Director Sasenia had 1 month where he attended both the special meeting and utility advisory committee meeting. We actually did that meeting on accident, and we put it on the same day, and so I could see how automatically it was just, something that you would have put. So he exceeded the $100 per day limit. So Director Sedania owes the district $100, and I believe they've already sent a reimbursement check into the district. Director Millage, she attended 6 Finance Advisory Committee meetings, 3 Utility Advisory Committee meetings, 2 Parks and Rec Committee meetings, and a County Stormwater meeting. Her total compensation asked was for $1,200. Alternatively, Director Millage didn't ask for compensation on some other meetings that she normally would have, but she was trying not to exceed her $600 limit. And we always, given compensation to Board of Directors as long as it's within a reasonable amount of months, because at some time we weren't, we don't actually get the forms from you guys every single month. So there's never been anything said that you can't get back. Pay for your items, so that that came to $800. So Director Millage would owe $400 total, and she has also already paid the district back. Director Womack, she had 2 finance committee meetings that she asked for payment, and both those I can't remember which one that one is. I think that also pertains to 9.2. 9.1 is she actually helped. She was helping. She wrote one of the reports. Finance Committee, she asked for compensation on the, so April 30th. She was on the ad hoc committee that was responsible for choosing the bank for the fire reserves. And so she attended that meeting and helped present that report. And on July 30th, she actually assisted with preparing a presentation for interest income report and also had to chair that meeting because Chairperson Ohilsky at that time had to leave. So she was already informed in advance that she had to be there for that meeting. So I found no reason why she would need to reimburse for those 2 meetings. And then we have Director Wright, who in 2016 asked for a compensation for a regular board meeting. And
running, and one for a special meeting. It happened to just fall in the same time. And so that was a $50 meeting. It was the ESAC meeting. He would have owed the district $50. And so I definitely waived Mr. Wright's pass, since he's passed away. The district has waived the $50 unless somebody has a problem with that. That is what my findings were as far as everything from 2016 to 2018 to the present. And unless I have a different direction from the board.
Any questions? Okay, we'll go to public comment then.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And you do have the forms that Ms. Osborne included in your packet. And there are some things that are not meetings. Meeting with staff. That wasn't directed by the board. Pre-agenda meetings. It's not directed by the board. The meeting with the LOCAC chair is not directed by the board. It's not a meeting. There are a significant amount of ineligible charges that are not being reimbursed through Ms. Osborne's analysis. You all got a letter of December 21st that showed you a time period between 2018 and back to 16, and a subsequent letter, January 30th, from 2016 all the way back to 2012. There's a lot of money that should not have been paid to directors. More recently, since I wrote these reports, I got more data, more compensation sheets, and still questionable items, pre-agenda meeting. I was a director. I never got paid for a pre-agenda meeting, or meeting with the LOCAC chair, or meeting with the fire chief. None of those things. And if retroactive pay is eligible, I'll send you guys a bill for the many, many hours that I prepared to do my job serving the community. There's one here that's troubling, and I didn't want Director Fourcroy to get caught in this because he's brand new. But there's compensation for his orientation, which orientation may be a required training. I didn't get paid for it. But the meeting date, I don't know who you met with. I would assume it's the attorney, was 11/27/18. The election wasn't certified till the 30th. You were not a director. You couldn't even have been sworn in. And the district is going to pay for that? I want you to have your training, but in the right time. And all of this falls on your general manager.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen, again, this is a subject that's been very disturbing for me. I like to think that Ms. Millage has worked on changing. When she first was director of LOCAC, she came in, and that was one of the first things she wanted to do was to look at bylaws and update them and make corrections and improvements. Same with, apparently, she's been involved with this back with Eric Storm. So the question is, I think she knew very well that much of this compensation she was not entitled to. I think the very words that... I mean, to meet with the the CSD agenda meetings, ad hoc committee meeting with who, I don't know what ad hoc, Chief Spinnerney, and to meet with Attorney Hanley. These are when she is the chair. The question is, by request of the Board of Directors. So if those were not approved, then she knew that this was not something she... That's where you ask. If you don't know, and somebody in the office should have caught this, it's obvious that when you had to add the... Was it a $10,000 increase in annual compensation that you were requesting? I've forgotten now. But when you see something like that, you've got to actually wonder where this all came from. So I want a reinvestigation of these meetings, and anybody that really overcompensated themselves or applied and was given overcompensation should be paying it back to the district. And then I think from here on out, if you aren't sure about getting compensated for a meeting, then ask your board. So, and I'll just add in that I see the bending of the rules by this group and certain people in this group. I just don't think it's correct. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Yep, Tom. Excuse me.
Tom Wright, Los Osos. Looking at the compensation attendance forms, they're not all reviewed or received by, reviewed and validated. So who's doing the second check? Not that we should be second checked. We should all be adults and know the rules. But if nobody is guarding the hen house, who's taking the eggs?
Thank you, Tom.
Beta Miller, and I'd agree with Tom said. It seems like maybe you need some kind of audit and more clarification of what's been done here and what you're going to do in the future. And I do know that Ms. Millage has taken compensation for the Fire Safe Focus Groups, and that's not a Brown Act meeting, and that's a meeting open to anybody. And as far as I know, she's just there in the same way that I'm there. We're not appointed, and we attend at our own convenience, and because we're interested in the topic and we want to help the fire department to do the right thing as far as fire suppression. So I can't see why she would get compensated for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. I would like to just bring out one thing that was discussed, but it's not included in your staff report, which was I'm not taking compensation, so that money by our bylaws is supposed to go into a training fund, and I do know that that's an account that we have set up now in it.
Well, we needed board direction. You need board direction.
But I mean, it will be an account that we're going to set up so that money for people not taking their compensation or not taking the maximum will go into that training fund as required. So if we approve what we're talking about here, then that will be an account that will be set up to cover that money. That's what I was trying to say.
Yes.
So thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would need a board action to create a reserve account. There's no way we can keep track of, there's no fund director. Especially right. You can't even put it in admin because admin's not supposed to be making money on the side. So it'd have to be a reserve fund. So I have never received direction to create a reserve fund for the director's training. So gladly willing to do that. But if we're going to do that and put whoever, put the meetings in there that whoever doesn't want to get paid for attend, then I feel that we should also then designate exactly which the bylaws does say which meetings you're going to attend. And then we should also put that maximum number in under admin in the budget so that, so that we account for it. So, I mean, for instance, if I'm correct and now I need to, make sure which committees that you, alternate meetings that you guys can attend, if I'm correct, I mean, we're looking at $18,000 that we should put in, under admin and leave that there. And then at the end of the year, the leftovers should go directly into that reserve fund. So, I mean,
that's just my opinion on how we should handle that, because there's no really other way unless we have to do sidetracking, unless you guys want to sidetrack and that doesn't even account for ad hoc committees. So, and to be clear, back pay, I believe when I started, we talked about within the fiscal year. And if not sooner, we were trying to do that even faster than, you get 4 months. We were trying to avoid all that. But we're talking about with the same fiscal year. I believe that last year was, looking at the bylaws, is when we should start putting money into the training fund. It's kind of late now at this point, because where would we grab the money from to put in there? Because if the money wasn't used, then admin was lowered, and all the funds, their percentages obviously got lowered, so they didn't have to put it. So it'd be something we'd have to start right now.
No, and that's what we talked about, I thought, was there'd be X amount of dollars budgeted, and the money that wasn't spent would then go into that reserve account for training funds for the upcoming future years. So, obviously, you can't do it all in the, but that, but I think that needs to be part of this, that there has to be the training fund established.
And then there would be like a minimum amount, because if, let's just say, if Marshall's not getting paid for any of his meetings that he attends, and we happen to have ad hoc meetings, that's going to kind of eat up at that. So we should have, so we'll have to keep track of that, I guess, here.
Come up with a budget that's a realistic expectation.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. So, since we pulled the item anyways, it's something that we can still address, obviously, in this mid-year adjustment.
Right. But, I mean, it does say that money goes into training funds.
And,
so, me not taking my compensation, that money needs to go into the training funds, because then, basically, we're not overtaxing our community, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. Yeah. So, the money that I'm not using as a director then will be for training functions for the other directors. And I may go to a training session where I get reimbursed for that out of that training fund money, because that's a different animal to me than the public service aspect of it. So if you have to do harassment training or Brown Act training or whatever.
No. Okay, so I would bring back maybe an item to open up the reserve account and what exactly would be reimbursed.
Well, I think if you're going to talk about it, that could be part of your mid-year adjustment.
Yeah. Would we also be clear on what meetings you guys would be paid for? So, for instance, I have LOCAC, I have RAC. Are you considering the Morbeg Estuary, National Estuary? Are you considering that one of the meetings that you would?
The ones that everything that I appointed to is the ones that I would.
Everything you appointed to, and that includes Fire Safe Council.
Right.
How about LAFCO and CSDA?
LAFCO, we don't have a representative.
Okay. And how about CSDA?
When
they attend those,
nope.
Okay. All right.
And just to be clear, that's harassment prevention training.
I was going to, as soon as those words came out of my mouth, training. I thought that, but then I was hoping nobody would catch that. That's why you're sitting next to me.
It's the first thing they teach you at that class.
Okay, so what do you guys want to do here?
Well, it seems like we need to set up this fund, right?
Well,
to be able to account for it. So that's
that'd be next month.
But I have to say, I mean, in response to the pre-agenda meetings and that kind of stuff, those aren't covered. I hate to say this. I mean, they're not in the bylaws and our revision that we just approved. They're not in there. So if Chuck and I go to the pre-agenda meeting, that's not compensatable, period. It's just the FAC, UAC, ESAC, Parks and Rec, BMC, RAC, Estuary, Capslo, and LOCAC. And an ad hoc, which at this point is the social media, which is Matthew and Chris. That's it, period. So if I meet with the fire chief, tough.
So then you would like me to redo the report then so that we go back, because there's a lot of other directors or vice chairs, or that got paid for pre-agenda meetings in the past.
Well, but I don't know if we can. This is a Roy question. I mean, then we're being retroactive. So how does that work?
Well, I haven't been tasked to look at this one, and so if you wanted to go back and do some kind of audit, I think you'd want to have somebody else do it.
I mean, well, this item is before you. It's not that hard to do it. I mean, I just need
direction. We need board direction, right.
I just need board direction to tell me yes or no. What do you want me to do? And I mean, the stuff's there. It's not easy to, it's not easy to,
you guys need
to,
yeah, so you guys, we need to have a discussion. You guys need to provide what you want to do at this point.
I don't think we should spend time and staff resources going back really far on this. How far did the...
We went back 2016, but I guess what I'm saying is now I'd have to, if you guys are agreeing, or if I'm hearing correctly, if you guys are agreeing that pre-agenda meetings don't count, then I need to go back. I'm gonna go to 2016 unless directed.
Well, but the only problem I have with that is we're making that decision from this point forward. I don't know how we can make this season retroactive.
Well, that's what I thought.
So I just think the board needs to decide what they want to do.
It would probably be simpler to go from this point forward unless we want to figure out your compensation, Marshall, for the last year or the beginning of the fiscal year.
We're talking about getting money for pre-agenda meetings.
No, we're talking about the whole ball of wax here. It's not just that. To my way of thinking, there's two ways we could do this. We could go back to the last election, which would be 2016, or we could start from today forward.
From today forward.
When we approve the new bylaws.
Okay.
Because I think what Chuck and I talked about is making sure the language in the bylaws was clear as to what was compensatable, because before it wasn't clear. I guess you and I agree on that, right, Chuck?
And from my understanding, you guys kind of handed it that what you get paid for and whatever, you guys kind of handed it down to each other. So, that's kind of where
I think it was Lindy that raised something, or maybe it was Tom. I guess it was Tom who's approving these compensation things. I think we need to have a process in place for when these compensation requests are made, that somebody checks them every single month to make sure that they've complied with everything. And if there's any questions, then that director needs to be discussed.
Yeah.
Or you need to talk to the board president so the board president can say, yes, that's my understanding or not. But so, I think it does have to be not audited, but at least double-checked.
So from now on, you guys will start dropping them off with me because they were not coming to me. So I'll take responsibility for them, but they need to come to me before they hit payroll.
Along with the written reports that should be filed.
Yeah. And that way I can also, in case your descriptions aren't enough or whatever, I can make sure that to finish it off or make it better.
Okay. Well, we got to do something here.
2 years.
So, we can either go from this point forward or go back. I would tie it to an election cycle. So we can either go back 2 years or from this point forward. But I think just picking an arbitrary date is problematic. So,
well, if you pick an election cycle, it wouldn't be this point. It would be from November or December.
No. Well, that's a couple of months. I'm just saying go back to 2016 or start from today when we approve the bylaws.
I don't see going back to 2016 as a good idea. Okay. I think we should make sure our bylaws are clear, which I think the edit that has been done is clear, and go forward.
Hey. Okay. So we need some sort of motion here.
Yep.
Whatever the motion is, I would like to see us add in the language about creating that reserve fund for the training fund for the untaken compensation. So that's the part of whatever motion you make, I'd like to see that included. So.
To create a reserve fund, don't I need a resolution and all that? Yeah, that's going to have to be a separate agenda item.
I would just direct staff to bring the agenda setting. The budget back for a separate action, because that is an obvious reaction to some of the information, but it wasn't really part of the the discussion, so
I
would
take
action.
Well, that could be part of the mid-year budget adjustment.
Yeah,
could include that a
kind
line
of,
item
sure,
in it.
Yeah,
so
but,
that's
but different than right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that part we'll just include we'll in the mid-year budget adjustment part. Okay.
And the staff recommendation was just to get direction. So you can make a motion if someone wants to, but there'd be no requirement to do so.
Well, what do you guys want to do?
Well, I'll make a motion that we not go back for 2 years and we start from this point forward, and we have adopt a procedure that I think should be written down as far as how we turn in time slips and how they get approved.
Okay. With the, can I add to the fact your submittal, if you're on a committee, would include that committee report in writing?
Yes, I agree.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? We don't need a roll call. Okay, we'll take all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. With now, I just want to make sure, so you're going to come up with a procedure and a process,
yep,
and bring it back to us for our review and approval.
Sure, yes.
As well as adding that training fund to the mid-year budget,
yes,
adjustment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Jose, I think you're up. Bay Ridge Estates septic tank decommissioning process.
Good evening, Mr. President, Board of Directors, citizens of Los Osos. My name is Jose Acasi, Utility Systems Manager for Los Osos Community Services District. Before you is the staff report to discuss Bay Ridge Estates septic tanks decommissioning process. Just to give a quick background so I don't have to read the whole staff report, we have 11 septic tanks up at Bay Ridge that have been sitting there for a few years with septic in them, and we need to get them disposed of immediately. Initially, we brought a report back to the board stating that the quotes we received were in excess of $100,000 to complete this task. That was a very daunting figure, and I understood the concern. We did revisit it by direction from the board to go back and revisit it. We collaborated with staff, district engineer, and we found a new location that would accept it for a cheaper price. And upon speaking to another location, we found a closer location in Bakersfield that would take it for the same price as East Bay Mud. Hmm. So that's why the quotes have dropped even more. Initially, we came back, I said, about $30,000 for them to haul it. Now the hauling fees are approximately $17,300. So you could see that number has dropped dramatically. The disposal fees and permitting fees are about $6,000 total. So we're looking at about $23,000 to $25,000 to complete the whole task and have that done, hopefully, relatively soon. It would be a couple weeks probably to complete the process because they'd have to fill up their hauler, take it to Bakersfield, come back, and it would require approximately 12 to 13 trips based on the size of their tankers. And again, this is all related to how much water we need to flush out these tanks as well and disposing of that product as well. So the staff report is in front of you. It explains how much the hauling services estimate was and the fees for disposal. Do I have any questions from the board?
I have a couple.
Yes, sir.
Basically, I just want to understand, do you see any risks with the plan as far as getting a load of product over there and lo and behold, they decide they're not going to take it? Is there any testing that we do on this end to make sure that on that end they for sure take it?
Great question. So we have collaborated and spoke to the staff at City of Bakersfield Wastewater Treatment Plant. They requested that some lab analysis be performed, which have been performed, and the reports have been submitted to them as well for review. And they've said that the product should be
so accepted. You've already done the testing.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. That was the biggest thing. And then the only other thing I just wanted to, because we're talking about all the numbers for what we're spending, but what did we have in that fund? What was budgeted? Because I think we're under the budget.
Renee?
Yes.
Yep, that's what I was going to ask, cover after Jose's finished. So there is money in there. I know you guys put it away, but under Bay Ridge,
They actually have enough money to cover this without having to raise any kind of assessments or any loans or anything. So, hang on 1 second. I want to actually turn to it, so I'm giving you correct numbers. If you, and you could check on this later yourself in the mid-year, Bay Ridge has in their budget, and I put a number of 25 because at that time we weren't 100% sure what the amount was going to be, and they were going to end up short by just a couple grand, looks like about $5,000. So with the with it being 23, they're not going to be short at all. They'll still have a little bit of money left over. So we should be, they'll be fine. They'll be able to pay it.
That's great, with this budget,
with this money, and no extra money.
Well, my only other comment is thank you for keeping after that and not accepting $100,000. Yeah. So, thank you.
It was actually, what, 110 plus?
Yes, sir.
I did have just a comment here. In the estimate that's included in our staff report, there's a typo in there.
Yes.
Because it talks about price does not include permitting, waste testing, disposal costs incurred at East Bay Mud. It should say City of Bakersfield.
That is correct. The first paragraph does state City of Bakersfield, so you just forgot to remove East Bay
in
Mud.
The third one, yeah.
Yes.
So I just wanted to make, not that it's a problem, but this is what I get paid to do for a living is nitpick words, as Roy can testify to. So, but if we could just make sure before we sign anything that we're signing something that does takes out any references to East Bay Mud.
Yes, sir. And then if I could just spell out one more thing is we decided to separate the fees for the disposal costs so that they're billed directly to the district and there's no overhead added by the contractor. So, and they agreed to that completely. It takes one less thing for them to have to handle as well. So.
Oh, and there was one more thing, and the reason why we're presenting this to you in phases is so that it doesn't impact Bay Ridge. Is right now we're just trying to get rid of the septic, all that sewage that's in there before the county gets after us. They're being really, really nice about letting us get it done, and so obviously in the next budget we're going to include. In the 1920 budget, yeah, that's what year we are. 1920 budget will include something for decommissioning the septic tanks or what to do with them. But for right now, we're in this. We're actually in emergency mode right now. We have to get rid of this immediately. So we will come back to you with a different budget for that item.
Or repurposing or whatever.
Or whatever.
Right. Any other questions? Okay. Public comment on this item, please.
Julie Tacker, and when you decommissioned your septic tanks at home, did you wait or did you do it all at once? That is my concern, is that you empty these vaults and that they're sitting there empty and they become an attractive nuisance and somebody gets hurt. So when you did yours at home, the contractor removed the material and either broke them down, backfilled them, or turned them into something else, and they're full of water now, and you don't have an empty vault like baby Jessica. And that's part of why this. I've brought this up to you guys many, many times. You need to have a full plan so that you don't have that empty vault. I don't know what the integrity of the concrete is without this material in there holding it all together, they could crumble and then they're dangerous. So I think you need to talk about timing, but you're the board.
Lindy, I would agree that I think while finishing up the emptying of the tanks that they should be just completed. I don't see any point in holding off the monies there to use, and that's going to be a different contract most likely. What we had to do in our own homes is have them cleaned, and so there's some other steps that go along with this. This is not just empty them and the truck drives off to whatever mud company. And then I think one of my questions, you brought up the amount of water that's going to have to be used. And obviously this stuff is skanky, thick crud that's been sitting there for too long. I would work with the county and see if we can get the recycled water maybe as they come in and the tankers. So try to make use of the recycled water if at all possible. So.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment.
I'd just like to answer a few questions, Mr. President. The nuisance of those septic tanks, they are covered, they are sealed, and they are inaccessible. Yes, someone could climb a fence, break through a fence, but they could do that now, and realistically, they'd be falling in a pile of sludge versus an empty tank. So we do plan to have them continue sealed until we come up to a plan of how to abandon them. Cleaning them is part of this process. They will pressure wash them, clean them out, and make sure that they're ready for whether we repurpose them, fill them with the slurry, fill them with the sand. So that is included in this cost. Yes, that was priority one, was to work with the county using the recycled water, and we've already got our permit in and request to use the recycled water. That has to go in front of the state to get approved as a approved user of the recycled water. So we already have that application in as well.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, discussion, motion. You guys just want to be here all night, apparently.
I move that the board authorize staff to accept the estimate submitted at the quoted price of $17,300 from RP Environmental and direct staff to coordinate, make payment for permitting and disposal fees to City of Bakersfield at the estimated cost of $6,000.
I'll second.
Nope. Which one of you wants to second? Chris?
You're supposed to judge. Who got it in there?
Chris seconded it. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Last item on our agenda under general action items is the discussion of the A Street Water Yard building. Fire sprinkler requirements, additional costs.
Jose Acosta, Utility Systems Manager. And before you is a staff report to discuss A Street Water Yard building, fire sprinkler requirements, and additional cost. Last month, we brought before you a staff report with a resolution to take to the county to exempt the building from having to abide by the county fire sprinkler code. We're going to utilize a state code. And the council took that forward to county council. And they came back saying that that does not apply to us. I'm not sure if Mr. Hanley wants to add anything at this time regarding that discussion. Sorry.
Why don't I do it when you're done?
Perfect. Okay. So with that being said, is they're not going to allow us to bypass the county code for fire code. So we're going to have to install the fire sprinklers if we want this building to be built. We do need a 1,200 square foot building to house all the tools, equipment, piping, and other materials that are used in the maintenance and operations of the water distribution and drainage facilities. Sitting and discussing with our district engineer and staff, we're requesting that board approve us to go forward to install the fire service line, install fire sprinkler installation in the whole building, and abide by the ADA accessibility compliance that's spelled out in the permitting process. Speaking to the district engineer, we want to break up the fire sprinkler into two phases to minimize costs. So the first phase would be the underground of installing a 4-inch service line, tapping into the 10-inch main out on Almoro Drive, doing a tap, running it over, putting a double check, and then running that over to the building with the flange, blind flange there, to allow the sprinkler company to come in and install the fire sprinklers. That cost would be broken down, and we have an estimate. Hopefully $25,000 or less is what our district engineer is estimating that at. And the fire sprinkler installation, I got a quote from one of the local fire sprinkler companies, and that came in at about 7,300. I put 8,000 because there's also some monitoring fees that are included in that. Because when we connect these fire sprinklers, they do have to be monitored, connected to the fire department, and through a telephone service line. So we will have to install that as well. And some minimal electrical components will have to be installed to be able to power up this fire alarm. The ADA compliance, I put $30,000 because, as you can see on the attachment and the summary of accessibility upgrades for commercial projects, which was attached to the permit from the county, is that they want you to use up to 20% of the adjusted construction cost of the building. The district engineer and I did go down and meet at the yard yesterday to discuss the installation and where we want the fire service line to be put in, and also the ADA compliance parking space and the ramps. The $20,000 or the $30,000 would, if we were required to put in a restroom, the telephones, and the drinking fountain, which we're not going to need to install these because it's a storage building. It's not going to be a working building where people are going to have access, need to utilize a restroom. We have a restroom out on site. We're not going to be required to install a drinking fountain. So the cost will be pretty much quite a bit lower than $30,000. But I use that figure based on the estimates that they provided in the permitting process. So that would come out to a total of about $63,000 that we would need to add to the original quote, which was $148,000 when we initially approved and accepted the quote and entered into the contract with Effect Contractors for this project. I also want to point out that when we went out for bids on this project, the quotes came in at $148,000. The second lowest quote was $267,000 and then $269,000. So even with these requested $65,000 of extra funds, we're still well below the second lowest bid. I just wanted to ensure that you guys understood that. Do I have any questions from the board?
I have a question.
Can I ask a question really super quick? Just in case, did Rob tell you what the amount was going to be since we're not going to need all those ADA?
He gave an estimate of about $15,000.
Okay. So that goes to my question. If I'm reading, I see the attachment to your staff report. But it says this applies to buildings used as public buildings, which this isn't, public accommodations, which this isn't, commercial buildings, which this isn't, or public housing. So how does this apply?
We had that argument with the county. We contacted them, and they said that the public still has access to the facility and the yard. And if we had to have someone who required ADA accessibility, we have to have it available to them. We stated that there is no public, we don't generally allow public into our yard. We don't have, unfortunately, we don't hire or people can't perform the job duties of a water operator that require ADA compliance. So there would really be no.
But if we did, then we would have, but I don't see how it applies as a public building, public accommodations, commercial buildings, or public housing. I just don't see that. I'm sorry. It's a restricted access, period.
I agree with you. We had that argument, and we had that discussion with them as well.
So just to follow up from my end, legally, there is a set of codes, as we talked about when we presented the resolution, that allows special districts and other public agencies to, and languages, both exempt themselves from building codes and zoning codes. There's several sections in that. County Council's argument is that in this particular situation, we can only exempt ourselves from zoning codes, not from building codes. So your alternatives from a legal perspective would be to tell county pound sand, we're going ahead with our resolution. You do two things to yourselves with that. One is you probably would spend more money in attorney's fees fighting a county with a $1 billion budget than it costs to comply. The other problem is that you further delay the project because you have a professional and responsible contractor who bid on the project. If a contractor gets red-tagged because their contractee, which would be us, and the county is in a dispute over how the law applies, the contractor still gets in trouble with the state contractor's licensing board if the county sends that red tag information off. So you couldn't really effectively proceed with building with any responsible contractor and tell the county to pound sand at the same time. You'd have to delay. So your second alternative would be, fine, okay, county, this is great. So what we'll do is we'll reduce the size of the building in a very minor way so it's below your sprinkler. We'll build extra pad because, as you know, you don't have to have a permit to have a patio. And we're going to have this great patio outside of our storage building, and then we're going to bring in some really ugly sea trains or some other crappy alternative for all the citizens in Los Osos to look at instead of a nicer-looking building and achieve kind of the same amount of open space, I mean, of storage space. We would still probably have to comply with certain aspects of ADA. So we're always, not everything the county wants us to do, but there's certain things that the feds might come in, and so we were going to comply with all of those things anyway. And then your staff is recommending that you'll get a better project sooner if you just increase your budget and pick a different battle with the county some other day.
Okay, my question, my second question before you...
I'm done.
So it's, what happens if we reduce the size to 1,000 square feet and these don't apply anymore?
We'd have to reduce the square footage to 990 square feet. The fire sprinklers would no longer apply. The fire sprinklers would no longer apply, but you still have to abide by ADA compliance. You'd have to bring in secondary containment areas for storage, which would be another sea train, which we've already proven doesn't give you the lifespan of a building and provides a confined space for these operators to work in. So that is an alternative. You'd probably save $20,000, $30,000 because your sea train would still cost another $5,000 to $6,000. Your pad for pouring that extra pad would cost some money. And to build another awning on the side, a slant tube would cost some money as well.
My questions.
I think buried in there, I'll ask Mr. Acosta to whack me on the head if I get this wrong. I think part of the reason for the recommendation is, in addition, if you go with staff's recommendation, you're going to be creating a better work environment and workspace for the employees who have to deal with these things on a daily basis, as opposed to the rest of us.
Absolutely correct.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions?
No, and I just wanted to make a comment that I just wanted to remind all of us, because it's, I think it's kind of been moved out because we've brought this report to you so many times, is, you know, we're only here because when we originally started, the county approved our building, and we have a permit, a waiver or whatever from county saying you're good, you don't have to do any of this stuff. So when we got that, we went to UAC and we started rolling, and that's what you guys approved. It wasn't until later that we got a revised permit. We did talk to fire because I wanted to know why, because that's who does it, is Mike Salas over at the county, and I wanted to know why he would do such a thing. I spoke to quite a few different chiefs, and all of them said, we fought hard for this because there's no reason for any of these, for sprinklers or whatever. It's just a storage shed. There are no chemicals or explosives or anything like that being stored in here. They did not want to revise that permit, but the county made them. So I just want to make sure that you understand that the county was the fire was on our side. We originally had a permit that said, go ahead, you guys can do this. And then it wasn't until later that they revised it and brought all these problems to our plate.
All right, let's go to public comment. We only have 12 minutes left here, so.
Understanding the explanation from Mr. Acosta, I don't like the county. makes me want you to get reimbursed at the park, get reimbursed for the election, and hold your ground on agricultural reuse and that dry land farmers get nothing. So they've been doinking with you. Push back.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back. Chuck, since you're the chair of UAC, you want to weigh into this, weigh in on this?
Yes, I had a conversation last Monday or so, I think, with Jose. It just bothered me all weekend. I think there was, I guess, an email exchange somewhere along the way about bringing in the C train, about the fact the county was pushing back on our last resolution to build according to state codes, and the proposal was put out there, right, we're just going to bring in a C train and we'll shortcut around the county that way. And I sat with that for a couple of days and said, I don't like it. We're this close to having what we wanted. It sends a message, one, to the crew that we'll give you as best we can, but and I totally agree with Julie. You pick and choose your battles. This isn't one that I really want to take on with the county. I don't necessarily want to fight with anybody, but those other instances, I especially want to push back now and say, yeah, we reimbursement should be ours for those other items. No, I'm all in favor of this, but I had all those same questions satisfied by Jose, I don't know, when we met a week and a half ago. And I think we got to move ahead with this ADA compliant, inclusive. And in fact, I'll move that the board authorize staff to proceed with the permitting process through the County of San Luis Obispo Planning and Building Department again, and authorize staff to seek quotes for the fire sprinkler installation along with ADA paving and parking requirements.
Could I request you take the word again out of your motion?
I was almost going to say additional emphasis mine. Yes, you can take that out.
Okay, thank you.
I second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so there's been no pulled items other than the item that was deleted. Future agenda items, I think your work programs are coming back next month, so after that, then if there's any items after that we want to add for future agenda items, we can do that.
Okay. And so then, at all the committee meetings this month and put on their agenda items to go over their work plan.
Correct.
And bring back
Correct.
To you what they want to do.
Okay. Correct. Okay, any closing board comments? Okay, seeing none, we're adjourned.